One of the ways in which you can divide the world is there are either dog people or cat people. There's not too many people that like both of them. Either you're a dog person or you're a cat person. And I'm definitely a dog person, but we also have cats living in the house too. Unfortunately. No, not unfortunately. No. But dogs are just different. So for instance, when I come back to the house, Reggie, our dog, is so excited. He's jumping all around. He's chasing his tail. He's yipping. He's turning himself inside and out until I reach down and pet him. And I just went and got the mail. I was gone like 2 minutes, and you think it was the highlight of his day that I returned. Now contrast that. I was gone for 2 weeks. The cats didn't even know that I left. The only time that I see the cats is when they decide that it would be funny to put their fur all over my dress slacks, and they rub all against me, and I'm not sure, but when they're walking away, they're snickering. I can hear it. Dogs, right? I mean, dogs care about you, and they show that they care about you. They miss you when you're gone. Sometimes I'm backing out of the driveway, and I look up, and Reggie's there in the front window, and he's just staring at me. He looks all sad and everything. Right? And I wonder, what's going through his head, right? I mean, there must be some thoughts. I've surmised at this. There's three questions that I think are going through the dog's head. The first one is, do you have to go? We're having a great time here. Do you really have to go? The second question is, am I going to be okay while you're gone? Is there food and water? Am I all right? And then the most important question is, are you coming back? I mean, we want to know, are you coming back? Now, here's my connection. I think those are the same three questions on the minds of the disciples as they're staring into heaven. If you will, when I read that account of them staring into heaven, I see my dog staring at me, wondering. They're on the mountain. They've got their mouths open. They're just staring off in the distance, right? The angel comes up to them. What you looking at, boys? Right? And I think that they've got those same three questions, right? Do you have to go? We going to be okay while you're gone? You coming back? A great way for us to dig into the ascension, to have a deeper appreciation for it, and to understand it more is actually to answer those three questions. So the first one is, why did he have to go? That's a legit question. Why did Jesus have to leave? When everything is going well, why is it then that he has to exit? The disciples have got to be asking this question. They've been with him for 3+ years, right? And all of a sudden, he's raised from the dead for 40 days. He's visiting people. He's showing himself to be alive. And they're digging this, right? Because all of their detractors, all of their friends that made fun of him for following him, all the Pharisees and religious leaders who were berating them for following him, right? They come up with Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. See? I told you. He's the one. He was dead. Now he's alive. Things are going well for them. They even ask, so Jesus, is now the time to restore the glory of Israel? We're going to go back to the glory days, right? So why does he have to leave? It doesn't, you know, they're like, this doesn't make sense. Well, there's actually three good reasons of why he has to leave. The first one is this: his earthly work was done. His earthly work was done. This was planned from the beginning. Jesus said, I came from my Father, and I've got to return to my Father once I've done everything that he asked me to do. Well, everything was completed. He accomplished his mission, so his earthly work was done. Now, we have the ascension because we need a day that marks when Jesus goes from the Jesus of earth to the Christ of heaven. There needs to be a moment in time. He goes from Jesus of earth to Christ of heaven. But what I mean by that is he can't just sort of fade away into obscurity. It can't be that, oh, Jesus is around and he's appearing to various people and all of a sudden, I haven't seen Jesus in a week or two, have you? No, I haven't seen him either. And he just sort of disappears. No, there needs to be a marker in time. I can't think of a better way for him to exit than through the ascension. He came into this world miraculously through the virgin birth, so now he leaves miraculously by ascending up into the clouds. Now he's returned back to his Father in heaven. This is really good news, folks. We should get excited about this, because if he's done on earth, That means everything's accomplished. The Father sent him to save mankind. He sent him to save you. It means the cross was enough. He paid the sacrifice. His resurrection says that he is victorious. So now sins are forgiven. Salvation is secured. It's all done, which is great news for us. So he goes back into heaven. But for some reason, ascension kind of gets passed over. Right? Maybe because it's not on a Sunday, I'm not sure. It's right up there with Christmas and Easter. It bookends it. He comes into the world at Christmas. He saves the world at Easter. Now he returns back to heaven at the Ascension, but we just kind of forget about it. I mean, the other day I went into Hallmark. I said, so where are the Ascension Day cards? Not a one. Not a one. But it's that important, right? So did he have to go? Yeah, he did. His work was done. Second reason why he had to go. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that I'll send the Spirit to you when I leave. And the Spirit's not coming until I leave. I don't know why. That's just God's plan. He's not sending the Holy Spirit until Jesus exits and goes back to heaven. He even tried to sort of soften the blow for the disciples. When he wrote this in John 16, he said this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. So by Jesus exiting and going back into heaven, that means the disciples and us receive the Holy Spirit. Well, think about it. The Holy Spirit is the one who called you into faith, brought you into a saving relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is the one that dwells in your heart. He empowers you each day. He goes along with you every moment of every day. How important is that? You receive the Holy Spirit after Jesus ascends back into heaven. So yeah, he had to go. And then thirdly, he's going to reign as king. But he's going to reign as king over everything. He's not going to be limited to just this place and time, like when he was living among us. But now he ascends into heaven, and Scripture says he sits at the right hand of the Father. It's the place that he left. He left from his throne on high, and he came and he lived among us. Now he returns to that place, and now he reigns. He reigns as the king above all kings, above all of creation. He's your king. He's my king. And I'll tell you what, that's a king I can have allegiance to because he rules with justice, but also with mercy. He'll never let us down. He'll never disappoint us. He'll never make a promise and then not keep it. So that's the kind of king that I want to follow. So Jesus is our king, serving over all, reigning over all of the universe. So did he have to go? Yeah, he did. All right, if he had to go, will we be okay while he's gone? That's another legit question. Think about it from the disciples' standpoint. For 3 years, Jesus has asked them, told them what to do. So every step along the way, they're following Jesus and doing what they've been asked or what they've been told to do. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus is leaving. What next? I mean, they couldn't hardly handle 3 days. You remember Jesus came back, but the disciples are in the upper room yet, and they don't know what to do. So Peter says, I want to go fishing? They don't know what to do. So now Jesus is leaving, right? What do they do? Are they going to be okay? Yeah, they're going to be okay because God promises his presence with them. He tries to reassure them that things are going to be all right. And those same words apply to us. Listen to what Jesus says to them. This is from John 14, 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I don't give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus says it's going to be okay. Yeah, I'm going back into heaven, but I'm leaving you my peace. That peace has a sense of security to it. That peace has a sense of supplying our needs to it, right? It's more than just an absence of conflict. It's deeper than that. He says, I leave that with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be upset. Everything's going to be okay. And then on top of that, it's not like Jesus now stops working. Right? When he goes up to heaven, it's not like he retires and kicks his heels up, right? Because when he goes into heaven, he says, well, I'm in heaven. He says, I'm going to be your advocate. Because when he goes to heaven, he intercedes for us. So he's still working on your behalf. He's still working on my behalf because he's going to intercede with us to the Father. Listen to these great words that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He's our advocate in heaven. So as the Father looks down on us, Jesus steps in and says, remember, you don't see their sin. I paid for that. You see my righteousness. So he intercedes for us. He advocates for us. What a great advocate. Because he understands us. Because he was one of us. He's not a God which is outside of us. No, he entered into our world. He entered into time and space, which means he understands everything about us. I love the words in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, for we don't have a high priest, that's Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. No, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. So everything that we're going through in life, no matter whether you're on a hill or on a valley, whether you're struggling with something big or struggling with something small, he gets it. He understands because he's one of us. Are we going to be okay while he's gone? Absolutely. He promises us his peace. He promises that he'll intercede for us, that he's our advocate. He'll give us exactly what we need when we need it. What does all that mean? It means that we should live boldly for him while he's gone. We shouldn't just sulk around until he returns, but we live boldly for him while he's gone, right? Confident in our faith, confident in what he has done for us. Listen to these words of Paul. This time he writes to the church at Corinth. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not of it. Your life isn't meaningless. There is a point to your life. There's a point to this world. God has a plan which is continuously unfolding, and he's weaving it all together, and each one of us has a part to play in that plan. Our labor, our life, our work is not in vain. It all fits together. So we should live boldly for him. Confident in what he's given to us, confident that he's going to return. He said to the disciples just before he left, he said, look, you're going to be my witnesses. He didn't say, would you be my witness? No, you are my witnesses. Each of us, we are his witnesses. Now, are we going to be a good witness or are we going to be a bad witness? I say, let's be a good witness. Let's live boldly for him so that when people see you, they see Jesus. When they see your life, they see his life. When they see you, they see his love and his compassion and his mercy. Live boldly for him because we're going to be just fine until he returns. Well, that's the last question. Will he? Is he coming back? Good question for the disciples. Is he coming back? Remember, he had told them months in advance that he was going to die at the hands of the authorities, but he said, 3 days later, I'll be raised to life. They sort of missed that part of it, right? So when Jesus dies, their whole world is shattered. He's gone. They don't know what to do with themselves. Well, after 3 days, he comes back. Well, now Jesus is leaving again. So what are their thoughts going to be after the weeks turn into months and the months turn into years? Is he coming back? Well, Jesus gave assurances to them and assurances to us. Yes, he's coming back. Most assuredly, he's coming back. The angel stood beside the disciples as they're staring up in the sky and said, boys, you're wasting your time because the way you saw him go, he's coming back in the same way. In other words, Jesus isn't going to slip in unnoticed. When he comes back, everybody's going to know. One part of Scripture says there's going to be a loud trumpet sound. Whatever it is, when he comes back, every living creature will know that he has returned because he's coming back. And that's good news. It's really good news because that gives us hope. His return gives us hope. He gives us hope because that means that he's going to make things right, that he's coming back to us. There's some great words in John chapter 14. It's one of my favorite chapters in all of the Gospels. It's this moment where Jesus is reaching out to his disciples. This is before he's crucified. He knows what turmoil they're going to be in, and he seeks to give them some comfort in that. Let's pick it up at verse 2. He says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus is still at work. Jesus is reigning at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us with the Father. He's our advocate in heaven. And he's making all the preparation for us to come home. Now, if you're like me, I like things fixed now. Yesterday would have been preferable. And at any moment in time, every single one of us is going through something. It may be small, it may be big, but we're always going through some sort of challenge. That's what life is, this side of heaven. The promise and the hope that we have is there's a permanent fix, that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, and when everything is ready and when everything is all set, he's coming back in a grand way, and then he's going to take us to be with him. Now imagine with me for a moment, a place where there is no sorrow. There's no heartbreak, there's no anger, there's no sickness, there's no disease. A place of unbelievable joy and peace. A place that when you walk in, you feel more at home there than you ever have in your entire life. You know what it's like when you go off to go off on vacation and you come back and say, "Oh man, it's good to be home." You just feel at home. You enter heaven. Multiply that 100 times, you'll feel the most at home that you ever have. That's the promise. That's what gives us hope. And it's all packed into the ascension, because that's the bookend. Christmas, he enters our world. Easter, he saves our world. Ascension, he returns to get things ready for us to be with him for an eternity. Did he have to go? Yes, he did. His work here was done. Are we going to be okay while he's gone? Absolutely. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He's advocating for us. He's interceding for us. Is he coming back? Oh, you know he is. And the moment that he comes back is the first moment of your eternity with him. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for leaving your reign on high and coming and living among us, dying for us, rising again, and now back seated at the right hand of the Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit would dwell within us, it would strengthen us, empower us as we look forward to the day when you return. Amen.